Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The State Theater in Mound City will be stretching the St. Patrick's Day celebration to include this weekend. Jill Anderson will be at the State Theater performing her Celtic Cabaret. Linda Boltinghouse is the president of the State Theater Arts Council.
Well, I think it should be a really fun evening. It's called Jill Anderson's Celtic Cabaret, and she says she's going to do like ballads, military anthems, and then comedy songs that with audience participation, and then Irish poetry readings, and then some historical facts too. She's calling it like a musical tour of Ireland. And she's bringing her band, which is a husband and wife duo that the wife plays a fiddle and the husband plays several instruments. And they will do reels and jigs. And anyway, she says it's something that really makes the audience want to clap along. So it sounds like a really fun evening.
Why did the State Theater decide to have this type of program?
Well, we're always looking for something new and different that we haven't had before or haven't had in a long time, and this was something that we hadn't. And to fit in with the St. Patrick's Day celebration seemed to go very well, and she seemed like such a wonderfully talented person with a quite a background that it would really appeal to people. Mostly, I think, just something different and fun for a St. Patrick's Day, and then brought it just we try to do a variety of music and the arts, and this was, like I say, something a little bit different.
You mentioned Jill's background. What can you tell me about that?
She's also an actor as well as a singer, and she's been involved in professional theater as an actor, director, writer, costumer, composer, and theater educator. She's worked with Opera Omaha, the Nebraska Shakespeare Festival, the New York Festival of the Song, the Orlando Philharmonic, and the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, just to name a few of them. So she really has quite a musical and theatrical background.
That was president of the State Theater Arts Council, Linda Boltinghouse. She says Jill Anderson's Celtic Cabaret will be at the State Theater in Mound City Saturday evening. The concert begins at 7 o'clock. Tickets are available in advance at the Nottoway Valley Bank in Mound City, or they're available Saturday night at the door. The St. Joseph Women's Chorus River Song will be holding their competition send-off on Sunday. Donna Turk is the marketing coordinator for Riversong. She says the send-off is a chance for area residents to see and hear what the chorus and the competing quartets will be presenting at the regional competition in Kansas City in 2 weeks.
We spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time working on this competition package. Friends and family, first of all, our friends and family, we spend a lot of time away from them every week doing this, 3 hours, 4 hours every single week working on it. And so it gives them an opportunity to see what we've been working on and how far we've improved. For the community, it spreads what barbershop is all about, what four-part a cappella harmony is all about, what you can do with it, and the quality of music that it is.
What will we see at this competition send-off?
You'll see us perform our two competition pieces, which is an uptune and a ballad, along with choreography and the whole nine yards. We'll be dressed just as we would be for competition in our costumes with the makeup and everything. You'll also see our four quartets. We have four wonderful quartets in Riversong who are competing in the quartet competition the night before the chorus competition in Kansas City. And all that is took fourth place last year and Most Improved Quartet Award. And they will again be competing this year. Applause, another quartet of Riversong, took fifth place last year. And they will be competing. Wild Hearts took the Novice Quartet Competition Award last year, and they'll be competing. Plus, we have one more, Latte Blend who will also be competing this year. So it's just a real exciting time for us, for the quartets and for the chorus in general.
It sounds like Riversong has done very well at competition.
We have. We have. You know, Riversong has been around for over 50 years, and the chorus has been very large, and it's been very small. And we're still quite a small chorus if you talk about the numbers in the larger choruses. For example, Kansas City has over 100 women on the risers for their chorus. We're right now around 30, and so we're still relatively a small chorus, but it gives us the opportunity to do things that a small chorus can't, that a large chorus can't. It gives us the opportunity to perform in smaller venues, to do a little staging, and not just stand on the risers and sing.
So is that enough of a difference to make you competitive against the larger choruses?
There's only in our region, which is parts of Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri, we have only one large chorus, and that's Kansas City. The other choruses in our region are either small or medium. And, of course, it goes with the population base. Where are they drawing from? You know, where are they drawing their members from? Riversong would love to grow. We want to grow. And that's part of the reason that we have this send-off for the community, because we want people to come in and see what we're doing. We want them to be excited about what we're doing, and we want them, women, to say, I could do that. I would love to do that. And join us.
How do they join you?
They can come anytime they want to on a Thursday night to visit one of our rehearsals. We meet at Wyatt Park Christian Church at 7 o'clock, which is on the corner of 27th and Mitchell in St. Joe. And we welcome guests anytime they want to come. They can visit, see if this is something that they think they might like to do. They'll get right on the risers with us. They'll hold a piece of music in their hands and learn right along with us. And if you like music, you like the camaraderie that we have, and you want to have a lot of fun, Riversong is for you. We just love it. And people that kind of get hooked, everybody feels the same way.
Where are the women from who are in Riversong?
Oh, my gosh. We cover quite a large area. I think our farthest member is from Falls City, Nebraska. She drives down every day. Majority of them are from the St. Joseph area, although we have several from Maryville that come down every week. Let's see, as far as Chillicothe. And so it's pretty much Northwest Missouri. We draw from the whole area. We even have a couple that come up from Kansas City, and they come up from Kansas City when they have an opportunity to sing with a large chorus like Kansas City, because they prefer the smaller group.
Back to this weekend's performance,
mm-hmm.
Are there any selections that you're especially looking forward to performing or that you think the audience will really enjoy listening to and watching?
Yes, we are just so excited about it. Our uptune and our ballad are what we've been working on the hardest. If I Give My Love to You, which is just a really romantic kind of a piece that says, do I really want, can I trust you? You know, do I really want to do this? And it's a favorite of ours. And the Bill Bailey medley, that's another one. A lot of fun. It's a very fun uptune piece.
That was Riversong Marketing Coordinator Donna Turk. The Riversong Competition send-off will be this Sunday at the Wyatt Park Christian Church at 27th and Mitchell Streets in St. Joseph. The performance begins at 3 o'clock and is open to the public. The Southwest Iowa Theater Group will be helping in the fight against cancer over the next several months. Next week, the theater group will hold auditions for Voices for Cancer, a new idea designed to raise money for cancer research. Carrington Cusick is the director of the upcoming production, which he's been planning for the past 9 months. He says he was inspired to produce this show after losing two friends to cancer.
It's a charity production I decided to put on in honor of a couple friends I lost that were pretty influential in the music community and pretty influential in me staying in the arts.
What do you have planned for this?
Well, it's going to be sort of a musical review. I have folks that are going to come audition comedy acts, poetry. I encourage juggling, unicycling, almost whatever you can come up with. And it's going to be a pure variety show.
How many people do you hope turn out for something like this?
To see the show or to audition?
To audition.
Oh, I hope, anywhere between 30 and 50. It's a large, big community. These are two figures that were, beloved by the community and this whole surrounding area. So I hope people turn out in force. And so far I have about 30 RSVPs for the auditions.
Do you mind talking about the two influences?
Oh, no problem. The first one is Susie Schaff. She's a gal who, early on when I was first singing at the county fair in Fremont County in Sydney, I would sing some older songs, and she would come up and kind of give me critiques and comments on it because, most folks around here prefer the country genre, and I'm more of a Sinatra fan. And she would give me critiques and influences and kind of led me, kept me on the path, the Sinatra path, I guess, and enjoying the genre of music I really do. So, and the second one is Becky Hohenschel. And she played for Stanton for just a number of years and played for the Swidig Community Theater for many, many years. And she also would give me Andy Williams CDs and played for a lot of productions and was just a dear friend of mine. And she unfortunately passed away.
A lot of people are touched by cancer, but, they tend to donate to the American Cancer Society or different organizations like that. You've really taken this a step further. What drives you to do this?
Well, it was sort of an unfortunate deal. When Susie passed away, I was up at college. I was singing for a show choir up at Iowa Western, and my mom didn't want to tell me over the phone that she had passed away. And there was no real good way. I was kind of incommunicado, I guess you could say, for a while. And so when I came back, I'd missed her funeral, and I was, devastated. And I wanted to come up with a way that sort of honored her in a better way. And since I felt so bad for missing the funeral, but plus she gave me so much musically. And when Becky passed away, I fell asleep one night, and I had a dream that I did this show. And, I called up Mike Peterson at about 2:30 in the morning. He's the president of the theater board. And I said, hey, I have a show that I have to pitch you guys, and when's your next meeting? And he set up a time, and I came and pitched it, and they loved the idea.
And this has been in the works now for about 9 months, is that right?
Yep, I've been thinking about it, and I'm kind of putting a band together, performers, auditions. I have people that have come out of the woodwork to volunteer to do logo design, to bake cookies, to be ushers, to park cars for me, to everything, to setting up tables, to making nachos. I mean, just even if folks can't sing, I appreciate any help that folks can give me. And, if people want to come volunteer, that's fantastic.
It must be rewarding to you to see the community come together for an event like this to honor those two people.
You know, it's nice because these guys gave a lot back to their community. Susie Schaff played all sorts of, charities for from the library fundraiser to the fair, and just really helped the community and the music and sort of kept that spirit alive. And Becky the same way, was just a great community volunteer and just a great church going gal. And it's just really nice to see that their legacies kind of keep going. But this isn't only for them. This is for everybody that's fought cancer, had somebody afflicted by cancer. Everybody's gone through some trials and tribulations when it comes to this. And if you've been affected by it or not, if we all kind of stand together and do what we can, I think we can put a good dent in the fight against cancer.
People wanting to audition for this show, what do they need to prepare or bring with them?
It depends what you're doing. I'm going to have ability to play a CD if you would like to sing off a CD. I'm also going to provide an accompaniment and a space. So if you want to do a comedy act, a speech, a poem, anything you would like to do, we'll be ready for you. All you need to do is bring your talent, and if you're going to, you know, bring a CD for your performance or sheet music, and we'll be ready for you.
Then when will the show be?
Oh, it's the first two weekends in June.
And so there will be rehearsals between now and then?
Yep. And this is going to be sort of a unique format because since it's going to be more variety and more individual, we'll have rehearsals in between, but it's not going to be as frequent as a regular performance since folks are going to have to be a little more self-reliant as far as, you know, their acts go.
How does this help cancer research?
Well, I think it helps in a number of ways. I think it not only helps cancer research, but it helps people grow together as a community and folks get together and, you know, I'm going to have a place where folks can post their memories of, you know, cancer stories and how they've done with it and post pictures of people they've lost or that are fighting with cancer. I think it's not only going to 100% of the profits and proceeds go to cancer research, of course, but people are going to grow together as a community. So I don't think it's just going to help research. It's going to help folks bond and, you know, maybe find some areas for support if they didn't have them before.
Do you think you'll do it again next year?
Yeah, you know, my hope is to make it an annual event. And, I mean, I would do it till I die. So my hope is to do it annually. And God willing, they would let me do it. I think there's going to be a good turnout as far as attendance. You know, still working on a few of the details, but, you know, if they'd let me, I would do it every year. If you want to help lighting, if you have an idea, if you want to park cars, if you just want to come help greet people, and whatever you want to do, I mean, everything's appreciated. There's no job too small.
That was Director of Voices for Cancer, presented by the Southwest Iowa Theater Group, Carrington Cusick. He says the auditions will be Monday and Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Rose Garden in Shenandoah. Those wanting to audition or volunteer in other ways can contact Cusick by calling 402-317-7558. The program will be held the first 2 weeks in June.
I guess we all have guilty pleasures, you know, sneaking chocolates or maybe obsessive reading of romance novels. One of my guilty pleasures is watching the cheesy made-for-TV movies on Sci-Fi Channel with titles like Megapython vs. Galapagos. I'm about equally hooked on as a Law & Order junkie and keep watching them even though I've seen all the episodes a dozen times or more. And finally, one of my guilty pleasures is the novelist Dean Koontz. His novels are universally of the, quote, "it was a dark and stormy night" category. The weather is all thunder and lightning or a blinding snowstorm, never fair and warmer, and always a full moon. I stopped counting Koontz's novels at 50, and there are more. He's been amazingly successful with the formula of his books, and here he is leading the New York Times bestseller list with his latest dark and stormy night novel titled What the Night Knows. Koontz specializes in mysteries rooted in the supernatural, especially demonic attacks. Alton Turner Blackwood is just such a horrible demonic entity. He had murdered four families and was only stopped when John Calvino, a 14-year-old boy, killed him after Blackwood had murdered his family. Flash forward 20 years. Calvino has grown up to be a policeman and is married with a wife and three children. Then on the 20th anniversary of the deaths in his home, the murders start again. More families are murdered and tortured. The killings match the actions of Blackwood, but Blackwood's dead, right? Maybe not so much. Actually, the demonic spirit that had inhabited Blackwell has returned to take over other bodies and murder more of the innocent. Why? Because they're demonic. And so it goes, with Calvino coming to realize that the entity that had used Blackwood to kill and murder and torture is after him and his family because he had dispatched the evil Blackwood himself. Koontz paces his novels and builds suspense by having a demon wait a specific time between murders and thus creating a kind of countdown, a little suspense. And Calvina knows with a certainty that the demon's murderer will attack and knows when. It all leads to a siege of the Calvino family, shooting it out with the forces of darkness. In most of his novels, Kuntz explores the nature of evil, and it's a theological evil here in What the Night Knows. Kuntz's characters are pretty much cardboard cutouts. His heroes and heroines are pure of heart and untouched by evil. Then there are those who are flawed enough to be taken by evil, and then there are the demons who cause mayhem. So we get something like the Manichaean battle of light and darkness from early Christianity. Now I know that Kuntz's novels are hardly great works of art, but he has the magical ability to get us involved with his characters and care about what happens to them. Moreover, he can crank out 3 or 4 novels a year. It's amazing. Now, there's never any doubt that the good guys will win in these novels, but that's all part of the magic of the formula. So I imagine I'll curl up with his next book, feeling a little guilty pleasure at having been sucked into Kuntz's world for a few hours of pleasant, if mindless, entertainment. I give What the Night Knows 3.5 stars out of 5.
That was Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.